Hi there and welcome to Global Heart Church. I'm Jared Keane, the senior pastor, and wherever you are tuning in from around the world today, really hope and pray that in our planning of this message that it's going to really inspire you for the great journey that you are on and for the great calling that you have in your own life. So enjoy the message and really pray that it's a blessing to you today.
All right, let's get started here. Luke chapter 9. I want to talk to you tonight on a subject that I just really feel like, and obviously, you know, these last 5 years have been a very tumultuous 5 years for a lot of people in a lot of different ways. COVID, of course, had a fairly major effect around the world, effect on our lives and our church and our family. We lost some people in our church who got COVID, and we know, you know, it really just changed everything. There are some things about COVID I personally enjoyed. The personal space, I love that. Washing your hands frequently, I love that. Oh, you got no idea. So there are some things about COVID I said, yeah, this is not so bad actually, but other things were just terrible. And then of course we saw in the United States, I know also in Australia, some of the cultural, racial tensions that took place. And then in America, we had these terrible, you know, elections that were so controversial. And I saw on social media some Christians talking to other Christians. And I'm going, are you sure you're a Christian? And I hear the way some Christians talk to me, dropping language. And I'm like, the only thing I can think of is like, I remember when Peter was accused of being one of the followers of Jesus. Remember that? When Jesus was arrested. And Peter said, I don't know what you're talking about. And then they said, no, we were sure. You're one of the 12. You're Peter. And Peter goes, before God, he made an oath. So the first time he said, I don't know, what are you talking about? Second time, before God, I don't know who he is. Third time, Peter was again challenged by many. You are one of the followers of Christ. And Peter had to think, what could I say or what could I do that would remove all doubt? That would make these people understand, I clearly am not a follower of Jesus. Look up what the Bible says he said. He started cussing. Maybe your language reveals you. Amen. So I'm thinking, God, I want to speak to this world in which we live, and I want to bring life, and I want to bring hope, and yet I want to bring a challenge of what I would consider a different spirit. Come with me to Luke chapter 9, verse 54. And when his disciples, James and John, saw this, everybody say this. So he saw something, didn't he? When they saw this, we're going to talk about what this was. Lord, they said, would you or do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and smoke them? Lord, should we nuke them? Should we press the button? They saw something, and whatever it was, what they saw made them so indignant, so mad, so angry, so willing to bring judgment. Lord, do you want us to go old school like Elijah when he called down fire and smoked them? Now, I want you to realize this is, who's saying this? This is James and John. These are the nice guys. And they saw something that made them so righteous and holy and indignant that they thought it would be appropriate to ask Jesus for permission. Lord, can we call down the fire of God? Just as Elijah did. But he, Jesus, turned. And listen to what he did. He rebuked them. Who's them? James and John. See, James and John were rebuking the crowd. But Jesus turns around and rebukes them. They're rebuking the crowd, want to call down fire. And Jesus says probably one of the most challenging verses in the Bible. He turned to them and he rebuked them. And he said, you do not know what manner of spirit you are of. I wonder if we know what manner of spirit we are of. I wonder when we are quick to judge someone, if we know what manner of spirit we are of. I wonder whether we're too quick to just call down fire on people. I wonder if we know what manner of spirit we are of. Amen. Numbers 14, verse 24. But my servant Caleb, because he has a different spirit. Everybody say different spirit. In him has wholly followed me. I will bring him into the land where he went, and his descendants will inherit it. I just think tonight maybe God wants us, the church, to have a different spirit. I think maybe God wants us to know what manner of spirit we are of. Well, what was it that they saw that made them this indignant? It was actually this laissez-faire. There was this over-familiar. They were indifferent as to who Christ was. But see this, James and John, they're enlightened. They know who he is, and they're not showing the due respect. They're not showing the due worthy. These people do not know whom they are in the presence of, but James and John, they know. And they think these people are not showing the appropriate manner and the response, and they are so mad because these people are just so below and so not worthy of who Christ is, but we know. Look what the Bible says, 1 Peter 2. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. This one's my favorite. Ready for this one? A peculiar people. You ever walk up and you go, that's peculiar. Or that they're peculiar. But the Bible says we are called to be different. We're not called to be like the world. Can you say amen? I love it in Romans chapter 12. It says that we are present our bodies to God as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable and pleasing to him. And listen to what it says the next verse. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That removes all gender confusion right there. We present the body that God gave us to him as a living sacrifice, and we're not confused by what the world says. We are made in the image and the likeness of God, and yet we still have to be different than the world. But we don't call down judgment on the world. This world's broken. It's confused. It's lost. I do not get shocked when Christians, people who are not Christians, behave like they're not Christians. The only thing I get shocked by, people who proclaim to be Christians do not act like they are Christians. But even then, I want to have a different spirit. I really want this in my life. I want to be different. I really do. I want to know what manner of spirit my God is of. And I want to have his spirit and his response rather than some of the harsh, mean, judgmental, social media, just theological, ignorant, bombastic, arrogant, chauvinistic, pinheaded. See, right there, there's all my lack of a different spirit coming out. You're a peculiar people to show forth the praises of Him who've called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Look at this verse. I love this one. 1 Samuel 10. But the Spirit of the Lord will come powerfully upon you, and you will prophesy, and you will be changed, listen to it, into a different person. I wonder how many of us, yeah, come on, give our Lord a hand. I wonder how many of us know what it is that the Spirit of the Lord come upon us and the changes to make us different, to really make us different. Different. When people look at us, they go, you're different. I remember when I got a job working in, back in Hillsong Church, and I just started running the Bible college, and I'm new to the area. I'm not from that area. And I thought, I'm going to walk into this milk bar that was literally, everybody on, in the church staff where I worked went out and turned right and went to like a milk bar down that way to get lunch. And I thought, I'm going to be different. So I went out and turned left. And blow me down, there's a little sandwich shop right there. And I walked in and it was the, there was a lady behind the counter and she's making sandwiches, trying to get lunch ready for the lunchtime rush. And I went in just a little bit before lunch. I knew it would be busy at lunchtime, so just a little bit before lunch. And I walked in there and I said, good morning. How are you doing today? She didn't even look up at me. She's just making the bread, buttering the bread, getting all the sandwiches ready. She goes, good, what do you want? And I went, I can't even get eye contact with this lady. And so I said, well, listen, I'm just wanting to get a sandwich. She goes, yeah, what do you want? She never looked up. I'm thinking, how do I have a conversation with this lady? So I said, listen, I'm new here. I just started working. I got a new job. And I'm looking for a place to have lunch every day, and I want to bring some friends. All of a sudden, her eyes looked up at me. I said, what's your name? She goes, my name's Jenny. I said, hi, Jenny. I'm Steve. I said, Jenny, let me ask you a question. How's business? She goes, terrible. The people who owned this shop before me were so rude to the customers. I'm thinking, nothing's changed, Jenny. I said, oh, but Jenny, when they meet you and they see your smiling face, oh, Jenny, they will come like Field of Dreams. If you build it, they will come. Jenny looked at me like, you're an idiot. Then all of a sudden, a bus pulls off up the front. And a whole busload of people get off the bus. I couldn't help myself. I walked outside. I said, everybody, this is Jenny. She makes the best sandwiches you've ever. Come inside and get yourself some of the best sandwiches for lunch you've ever tasted. I literally got a dozen people off the bus into her shop. And she's going, stop, stop. She goes, who are you? I said, I'm Steve, Jenny. I'll be back tomorrow. I came back with some friends. Morning, Jen. We're old friends now. I went back every day for probably 4 weeks. And finally, she looked at me. She goes, Steve, and by the way, I told all the Bible college students, I want you all to go in there and order sandwiches from Jenny and tell her Steve sent you. And they did. And I go in, she goes, what do you do? Where do you work? I said, I can't tell you, Jim. He couldn't handle it. And then she said, you're different. And then one day I'm sitting there in the milk bar and she goes, whatever you're taking, I want some. Are you taking happy pills? Are you smoking mushrooms? I want some. I said, Jen, you're not ready for what I have. I pray we have a different spirit. I pray that when we think about who we are, that we're not like James and John, ready to judge someone in a moment. I pray we know what manner of spirit we are of. So I just wrote down a few things that I think a different spirit has. You want to hear them?
Yes.
All right, here's the first one. A different spirit to people, listen to this, and tell me if this isn't different from the world, are quick to lead. They're quick to get on board. A person with a different spirit isn't a person who follows the crowd. Amen? I love this story of Caleb, and it says he had a different spirit because him and this other guy called Joshua. And I love when I read in Joshua chapter 3, when God said to him in Joshua chapter 1, listen, Moses is dead, now it's your turn. Get up and lead the people. I love what Joshua did. Look at Joshua 3 verse 1. Then Joshua rose early in the morning. He didn't wait for lunchtime. He didn't sleep in. He got up and he was quick to do what God called him to do. Can anybody say amen? And Joshua rose early. Different spirited people are quick and are the first to lead. When something's going on in Global Heart, and when it comes to a men's conference, they're signed up. They're serving. They're volunteering. They don't need to be rah, 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 rah. Come on, let's get going. They are going, what can I do, Pastor? I'm in. Count me in. They're not just when it comes to giving. They don't say, well, I want to see the books and I want to read the audits. No, no, no. They're in. Amen. When it comes to being in church, they're in. Yeah. Amen. They're the first in, last out. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. They're not late for church. Yeah. You listen, my pastors say to me, Steve, you need to rebuke the church for coming to church so late. They're late every week. I go, I'm just glad they come. I can't believe they come. I think God honors the petrol they spent to get to church. And if they're late, leave them alone. Of course, all the late people love it when I say this. And I go, so just leave them alone. You don't know what manner of spirit you have. But then I just say, one other thought. Remember, whatever you sow, you shall reap. And if you're always late getting to God's house, don't be surprised if he's late answering your prayers. Different spirit. There's a guy in the Bible in the Old Testament. His name's Samuel. He's a really cool guy. And Samuel got this job of anointing the very first king over Israel, which, by the way, God didn't want. God wanted to be the king, but the people wanted someone. So Samuel is going to go and he's going to anoint Saul. And Samuel's feeling pretty good about himself. I get to anoint the first king of Israel. But then Saul blows it. And then God rejects him as king. And Samuel's having a bit of a depression session. He feels let down. He's disappointed. Matter of fact, if you read this story, it says that the Lord spoke to Samuel and he said, how long will you mourn over Saul. So God was saying, it's okay, Sam. I get it, man. You're upset because I've rejected Saul. But I'm asking you a question now. How long? I think God's saying, it's been long enough, Samuel. And I think God's asking some of you tonight, how long are you going to sit in indifference? How long will you, before you get up and do something, how long are you going to sit in the mourning over the past? How long will you mourn over Saul, somebody who hurt you, something that happened to you that shouldn't have happened? How long are you going to sit there? When are you going to get up and keep going? Now, God's okay with the mourning. God gives us time for the healing. But at some point, when are you going to get up? It's been long enough. And he says, get your oil and go. I've got a new king. And it was David. And some of us have got to have a different spirit where we're quick to lead and get up and go again. Even when someone's hurt us and someone's let us down. Come on, I've come tonight to tell you, get up. Get your oil. Go. Different spirit. When Jesus called the disciples, it says immediately they dropped their nets and followed him. Amen? When Jonathan said to the armor bearer, come on, let's go fight the Philistines. The armor bearer said, do all that's in your heart. I'm with your heart and soul. Different spirit. I believe God's calling Global Heart Church to have a different spirit. Amen. I actually think the second thing about a different spirit is a different spirit worships. John chapter 4, verse 24. This is Jesus talking to the woman at the well. How many are glad that even Jesus got tired? Do you know that story? Jesus is walking toward Samaria and he gets there and there's a woman at the well. And I don't know if you've ever read the story, but when I read it, it says that Jesus was so tired from his journey that he sat at the well and the disciples had to go in town and bring back the McDonald's. Had to bring back the Big Mac, supersized. He was so tired. It says the disciples went into town to bring back food to Jesus. You ever got to that place where you just go, I'm so tired, I can't take another step. I'm done, I'm exhausted. You go get the food, bring it to me. I don't have it in me to take another step. And then he gets talking to this woman. And it's a whole debate as to where you're supposed to worship. Remember this? And Jesus answers and goes, God is spirit. And those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. People with a different spirit are great worshipers. I see it in church now. I see some people just kind of a little bit too cool for church. They're kind of like this. And then they're kind of like, you know, when it comes to worship, they're like, and I remember this guy in our church came up to me. He was a commander of a SEAL team, Navy SEAL team. Nicest trained killers you'll ever meet in your life. Really nice people. He goes, Pastor, I'm in. I love everything about church. I'm in. I tithe. I believe in tithing. I serve. I believe in serving. He turns up at the working beast. We give everybody else chainsaws. He gets an axe and cuts down the tree with an axe. That's just what a Navy SEAL does. He goes, I love everything about church. I love the word. I love to bring my friends. I bring my family. I'm in. But I got one problem. I said, what's that, man? He goes, in worship, my hands feel so heavy. And everybody else around me has got their hands in the air. And I just can't bring myself. What is wrong with me? I said, oh, that's so simple. I know exactly what's wrong with you. He goes, what is it? I said, you're a Navy SEAL. When you lift your hands, it's surrender. You were never trained to surrender. It's not in your nature to surrender. Should you be surrendering, you're losing. But my friend, the Bible says, blessed be the Lord my rock who trains my hands for war and my fingers for battle. And when God made you, he made you a warrior. And he's trained your hands for war and your fingers for battle. But my friend, may you never surrender to your enemy. But when it comes to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, you might just want to surrender. He made you that way. He goes, I got it. Next Sunday in church, I'm telling you, the highest hands in the building. Where's this SEAL? He's looking at me. He's winking, elbows above the ears. That's the new worship pose. Elbows above the ears. Come on, somebody. Don't you be too cool for God. Oh, yes, Lord, I just give you my praise. I'm just here. No. People, listen, worship is not a pose. It's not a platform. It's not a position. It's not a place. People who got a different spirit. I hear people say, when I get to heaven, and I hear someone say, when I get to heaven, I got a few questions for God. Number one, you talk like that, I don't know that you might be going to heaven. But if and when you get there, you think you're going to go, hey, Jesus. I got some questions for you. You ever read the book of Job when Job tried to question God? Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo, big mistake. I tell you what's going to happen when you get to heaven. When you see the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Rose of Sharon, Alpha and Omega, the risen King, the Lord of Glory, you're going to drop to your face and you're going to go, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is filled with his glory. Come on. Different spirit. I'll finish on this one. My time's up. I asked your pastor, Jared. I said, tell me, what time do you want me to finish tonight? This is what he told me. Steve, you can preach till midnight. But everybody walks out of here at 8:20. Listen to this one. Tell me if this isn't needed in our culture today. A different spirit has hope. Some people are just so negative. They're just full of, wow, you can't trust anybody. You can't trust the government. Well, that's true. You can't trust the media. That's true. Some people trust in horses and chariots. I trust in the Lord. A different spirit has hope. A different spirit is buoyant. It can't be squashed. Listen, I love this verse. Look at this verse. Give me. Romans 15. May the God of who? the God of fill you with all joy and peace in believing that you may abound in by the power of the Holy Spirit. May the God of hope fill you. Come on. With joy and peace in believing. The God of hope fill you that you may abound in hope. May the God of hope. God is a God of hope. When you've been around Him, you're optimistic. When you've been in His presence, may He fill you with joy. Some people go, I've been in the presence of God. I go, dude, go back. Go back. Because the Bible tells me in His presence the fullness of joy. You don't have a lot of joy yet. May the God of hope fill you with love and joy and peace that you might abound in hope. Not a little dabble, do you? Abound. Come on. Abound. Abound. Do you know that job we prayed for you to get 3 years ago? That was an answer to prayer. Now you hate it. Go back. Romans. Have you noticed I'm reading a lot out of Romans, by the way? I love this verse. Oh, this verse gets to me. It eats me up. Against all hope, Abraham, in hope, believed. And so he became the father of many nations, just as it had been said to him. Against all hope. I'm telling you, if you look at the world today, you could say we are against all hope. You don't know who to trust. Come on, you don't know who to believe. You hear something from one person, then you hear the other perspective and you go, people are just lying to you with the truth. Amen. You turn on the media, you hear something and then you find out the other side of the story. And you don't know who to believe and who to trust. And you could actually get quite disillusioned. We live in a culture and a day where there's a lot against all hope. A doctor says to you, it's incurable. The economist says to you, there's no financial way for this to survive. Against all hope. In the marriage, against all hope. That child, the more you pray, the further away from God it seems they get. Against all hope. Against all hope, Abram believed. God said, you're going to have a son. The brother's 90 years old. Now, when we read against all hope, do you know what that's saying? Cialis didn't exist in those days. There was no Viagra. There was no little blue pill. Against the man's 90 years, even when he was a young man. But now he's old. He's against all hope. But even on his best day, when he might have looked at Sarah, hey, babe, You're looking pretty hot tonight. She was even older. And even when she was able to bear children, she was barren. Her womb was closed. Church, against all hope, Abraham believed. I'm trying to keep this G-rated. I'm trying. See, what I believe is hope keeps you young. It keeps you young. Against all hope. Here in Sarah, let's do it. She got pregnant. They had a child. But we read that verse and we don't understand what that verse is really saying. There was no hope. I've come tonight to say a different spirit has hope. Amen. Do you receive the word? Come on, give the Lord a hand if you receive the word. Hey, let's be wise. Let's know what the will of God is. Let's not compromise the word of God. Let's not be so sloppy in our love that we don't call sin, sin. But let's have a different spirit. Amen? Let's not be ready to call down fire on things when we don't know what manner of spirit we are of. Amen? Am I talking to anybody here tonight? I was at, what's it called, Tenacious? And I saw some men with hope in their eyes. Hope for a better day. Hope for a better future. Amen? When your pastor says, we're going to plant churches all over the world. Not so sure about that. You'd be the first to get on board. When your pastor says, hey, some of you might just be leaders in other nations. Yes. Wonder who that is. You. Quick to leave. Yes. Amen? Yes. You're a worshiper. And you've got hope in you. Yes.
Amen. Thank you so much for joining us online today. Really great to have you with us, and special thanks to those also who give online. Your generosity is making the way for others to hear the message of Jesus both here in Australia and around the world. If you enjoyed today's message, I'd love to encourage you to share this message with a friend, a workmate, a family member, and let's believe together that it will powerfully impact their life for good in Jesus' name. If you're unable to be with us at one of our church locations, both here in Australia and around the world, please join us online every Sunday for Global Heart at Home on YouTube. God bless and have a great week.